There we go. Isn't it good to be together again? To start this year, we missed the last few weeks of being together. This is actually a poignant time for me. I'm starting my last 3 months of teaching here before I retire. So I'm going to treasure every Sunday that I still get to do that with you. I do have a meeting later this week. A couple individuals looking for someone to come in and become the next teacher. And I really appreciate what I just said a moment ago. My last 3 months, nobody broke out into applause. This might have been my last day if that was the case. I will be out the next 2 weeks. I'm going on a cruise next weekend. So you'll get Ty and Kenneth for the next couple weeks here in class. And I know you always enjoy them as well. Well, let me invite you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. And when it comes to minor prophets, checking the index in the front of your Bible is always a fair game to try to figure out where it is. And as you do, I want to start with a story. Some years ago, a man named Eugene Lang stood to deliver a commencement address to 61 sixth graders who were graduating sixth grade that year in East Harlem. Lang had attended that school 50 years earlier. He'd gone on to become a successful businessman, and his intent when he came to the school that day was to encourage these students that they could do the same. But as he stood up in front of them, he realized his words would probably fall short, because many of these sixth graders historically dropped out of school before they even reached the point of graduation. And so, abruptly abandoning his speech, Lang instead impulsively offered a scholarship to any student who was eventually admitted to a four-year college. He promised to put $2,000 aside towards college for each student and add to that amount every year that that student remained in school. Now, after he did that, the school's principal predicted to him that one or two students might eventually take advantage of that offer, given the track record of that school in East Harlem. Amazingly, half of that sixth grade class eventually enrolled in public or private college, and nearly 90% graduated from high school. And as one student put it, "I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me." And on this first Sunday of the new year that we are together, I want to talk today about the quality of hope. Louis Smeads, who was one of my favorite seminary professors, wrote in one of his books, "Our spirits were made for hope, the way our hearts were made to love, and our brains were made to think, and our hands were made to make things." As we turn our calendars from 2005 to 2006, we move from the familiarity of last year and all that happened that we know very well to the uncertainty of what lies ahead of each of us in this year that's before us. Now, some of us may be happy to leave behind the pain and the disappointment of 2025, while others of us perhaps hope that this year will be as good as last year was. Viktor Frankl wrote, "It is a peculiarity of man that he can only live by looking to the future." And so all of us look to the future wondering what this year holds. We'd like to think our health will remain good this year. We'd like to think that our friendships will remain strong and rewarding for us. We'd like to think this year will bring meaningful and joyful moments, and the pain and disappointment will be minimal. But we don't really know, do we? And that's why hope is such an important quality for us each time we enter a new year. How important is hope? Well, consider this comment by Chuck Swindoll, who wrote, "Take from us our wealth and we are hindered. Take our health and we are handicapped. Take our purpose and we are slowed, temporarily confused. But take away our hope and we are plunged into deepest darkness. stopped dead in our tracks, paralyzed. A number of years ago, I saw a greeting card, and it'll be obvious how many years ago it probably was when you hear what it said. On the front, it said, "Wouldn't it be nice if life was like a VCR?" Remember those? It said, "Wouldn't it be nice if life was like a VCR and you could fast forward through the tough times?" Well, unfortunately, I don't have that button on my remote, and my guess is none of you do as well. But we do have hope, and hope can carry us through uncertain and difficult times. It was also Chuck Swindoll who said, "Hope isn't merely a nice option that helps us temporarily clear a hurdle. It is essential to our survival." In the same way that a hard hat or an athletic helmet protects our heads, hope protects us inwardly. And when we lack hope, something can die within and make it harder for us to continue moving forward. Everyone can experience hope, even without a Christian faith. But our hope becomes richer, and it becomes far more substantial when God is factored in. Every time I preach, I start with two things: a blank piece of paper and hope that God will provide, that He will create something out of that initial nothing. And what's interesting is throughout the Bible, we find faith and hope interwoven. Do you remember those three qualities in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13? "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love." And notice the connection in Hebrews 11, verse 1, when we read, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for." You see, in the Bible, our present response of faith is impacted by our future hope in what God can do. If I can quote Lewis Smedes again, he wrote, "Hope comes alive with the birth of faith, and it stays alive as long as we keep believing. We hope only for what we believe is possible. No matter what we put our faith in, we will sing the song of hope only to the tune of faith." Hope, we could say, is faith with an eye to the future. And I love the way Brazilian theologian Rubem Alves put it when he said, "Hope is hearing the music of the future. Faith is to dance to it." In recent years, whenever I fly, I'll put on music on my phone and put headphones in my ears, and I'll find myself during the flight at some time or another tapping my foot to music nobody else around me can hear. And we as Christians hear a melody of hope that others around us may not. And in faith, we hum to it. We tap our feet to it as we go along. Today, I want to look at a passage that is wonderfully filled with hope. Now, let me offer some context before we look at chapter 3 of Habakkuk. This book is unusual among the 12 minor prophets in that there are no words of exhortation or warning to the people. It simply consists of dialogue between Habakkuk and God. And throughout much of this conversation, things are not going well. Judah was threatened at that time by Babylon, and Habakkuk saw spiritual and moral decay among his people. He was unhappy with God's lack of involvement. And so he cries out in the opening verses, "How long must I cry out for help, but you don't answer?" And twice in the initial verses, Habakkuk cries out, "God, why?" Their dialogue continues back and forth until something amazing happens in chapter 3. Habakkuk shifts at that point from questioning to praise and to trust. And at this point, he allows hope to carry him forward. Let's look at his words, beginning with verse 17. Words I know many of you have heard many times before. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, as we look at these words of hope, would you enable us to fuel hope within ourselves as well? Hope in you, hope that is fueled by faith in who you are, in what we have seen you do, and what we believe you can do in this year before us. And so, Lord God, help us as your kingdom people to go ever deeper in our hope today, not knowing what the year ahead holds, but knowing you who holds us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, these words we just looked at in Habakkuk. Habakkuk still couldn't understand what was going on and what God was doing because he couldn't see it at all in front of him. That nothing around him had improved by chapter 3. Things were actually about to get worse. And yet Habakkuk decides to make a conscious choice to lean into hope in his God. His words were echoed centuries later by an inscription that was found where Jews were hiding from the Nazis. And that inscription read, "I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. I believe in love even when feeling it not. I believe in God even when he is silent." Friends, that is that beautiful mix of faith and hope that work together for those of us who follow after Christ. And that's the life-changing and perspective-shaping power of hope. Even when today is encouraging, hope helps us believe that there may yet be a better tomorrow. As the author of Hebrews puts it, this hope becomes an anchor for our soul. It holds us fast even when we are buffeted by the storm's surprises or when uncertainty lies ahead. We hope that there's a future good that enables us to rise above present challenges. When a medical diagnosis is not what we expected, hope of beating it carries us through our treatments. When physical limitations slow us as we grow older, hope points us toward meaningful activities that we still can engage in. When difficulties threaten to overwhelm us, hope in God's assistance keeps us clinging to him. And when we experience loss or disappointment, hope gives us the strength to face another day. I like the way John Ortberg put it in one of his books when he wrote, "At its core, faith puts trust in a person." And that's what we do as God's followers when it comes to our faith and our hope. And so what are the ways that we fuel hope? By putting our trust in God. But we hope that we are known intimately and loved deeply, even in seasons when we may feel very much alone. We hope in that God's resources are sufficient for our places of need, even in moments when we feel upside down. We hope in God's transforming and renewing work, making us better than we once were, even if we can't see it in the moment. We hope in God's sovereignty over the world, that he is still redeeming what he has created, even again when things around us seem so bleak. And we hope in God's promise of life after life here on earth, that death doesn't have the last word. Each of these sources of hope, and others that I haven't mentioned, they add meaning to our lives each day. They give us the strength, they give us the courage to continue moving forward, believing like Habakkuk did when he wrote these words, that there is a bigger story of what God is doing than we may be able to see in the midst of that moment. I can quote Chuck Swindoll again. He wrote this about hope. He said, when we are trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to the light at the end. When we are overworked and exhausted, hope gives us fresh energy. When we are discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we are tempted to quit, hope keeps us going. When we lose our way and confusion blurs the destination, hope dulls the edge of panic. When we struggle with a crippling disease or a lingering illness, hope helps us persevere beyond the pain. When we fear the worst, hope brings reminders that God is still in control. When we must endure the consequences of bad decisions, hope fuels our recovery. When we find ourselves unemployed, hope tells us we still have a future. When we are forced to sit back and wait, hope gives us the patience to trust. When we feel rejected and abandoned, hope reminds us we are not alone. We'll make it. And when we say our final farewell to someone we love, hope in the life beyond helps get us our grief. I've read that the Amazon River, the mouth of the river, is 90 miles wide. And in early years of exploration, sailors who were exploring the Amazon couldn't tell if they were in the river or if they were still far out in the ocean. There's a story of a Portuguese ship in the 1800s that ran out of water off the coast of South America. Number of days went by and the crew and the passengers were suffering terribly when they saw another ship in the distance. The Portuguese ship was able to send a message describing its predicament and asking for help. And the response they received back was, lower your buckets. Because they were sailing in fresh water, they just didn't know it. Even though our faith in God gives us reason to hope, it doesn't mean we always automatically do so. Hope always requires something of us. We must lower our buckets into the hope-filled waters of our Lord's assurances. So what can help us develop a deeper reservoir of hope that propels us forward like Habakkuk through circumstances that sometimes offer very little reason to hope? Let me suggest this morning that it's helpful to understand, and I mean really understand, the reason for our hope. Jesus told a parable about building our faith on a foundation that would hold up during storms versus one that would not. And hope, if it's truly going to sustain us, requires a similar foundation. If we are going to trust in God's ability to provide for us, to accompany us through difficult times in life, we need to check our foundation of hope to assure ourselves that it will hold us up in those moments when we need it most. Eugene Peterson wrote, what we call hoping is often only wishing. We want things we think are impossible, but we have better sense than to spend any money or commit our lives to them. biblical hope, though, is an act. It's an act. Again, it's an act of faith that steps out. And key for us is, what are we stepping out upon in those moments when we need to have hope, when we need to have faith? And so let me ask the question this morning. What fuels your hope in God's goodness and provision for you? Is it based upon past experiences? Is it founded upon promises of Scripture that you can cling to and you can quote in those moments when you need them? Or is it more wishing that He will be there for us when we need Him to be? It's not a bad idea to imagine to examine our foundation of hope now and then, to understand what it is we are leaning on, or what it is we will be forced to lean upon in moments when hope is demanded of us, and to strengthen our reasons for hoping in God if it seems that they are fueled more by wishfulness than by substance that will truly hold us up in hope and in faith during those difficult times. I mentioned Lou Smeeds was my favorite seminary professor, so let me quote him one more time. He wrote this: "Hope is the Creator's implant into us, His traveling children, on the move into a future we can imagine but cannot control. Hope is our fuel for the journey. As long as we keep hope alive, we keep moving. To stop moving is to die of hope deficiency." I suspect most of us can look back over our lives and see moments when God was working in ways we couldn't glimpse at that time. We couldn't see. We couldn't understand. And to recognize in retrospect His handprints and His leadings that just weren't obvious to us at the time. Hope gives us strength. It gives us encouragement to believe that the same is true ahead of us as well, even if we have yet to see it. As Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, "But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." I don't know what the days ahead in 2026 have in store for any of us. But I do know the faithfulness of the one in whom we place our hope, His incredible love and His care for each of us. And so as we begin this year-long sermon in Romans, let me leave you with a wonderful charge from this book as our final words. Paul writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I don't know how many of you memorize Scripture. That would not be a bad verse to start this year by writing it out somewhere, by remembering it, by allowing ourselves to become propelled forward by hope in what God is yet to do in each of our lives in the year that's ahead. Let's pray again. Oh Lord God, you know each of us. You know where hope and faith are strong, and you know where they may feel like they're faltering right now. Lord, would you strengthen and encourage each of us that no matter what we may be experiencing in the present moment, no matter what lies ahead, that we can hope in your goodness, that we can hope in your constant presence, that we can hope in your love that will never falter, that we can hope in your power to be at work in our lives in ways that we cannot. Lord, may we be a hope-filled people this year. And as we are, may others be attracted to us by the hope that they see in us that may be lacking in their lives. Lord, this is such a beautiful community of faith. Help us sharpen each other's hope as we follow after you and as we journey together arm in arm with each other. We pray this in Jesus' name.